episode 77 of K-Drama Convos. So today we are talking about what it's going to be a very well-known show at this point. This is about a week after it finished airing, I think is when this is going up. We're talking about Crash Course in Romance. So the sole reason we started this show is because Jung Hyung-ho is the male lead in it. If you haven't seen Hospital Playlist, go watch it.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. He's also one of the main characters in that. Mm-hmm. So that was when we heard he was going to be in something new and the plot sounded interested to us, we just, you know,
yeah,
we were very excited. I literally, so we never watch on-air shows, like, very, very rarely.
Very rarely.
And if we do, we usually try and start them when they just have a few episodes left, so we can just kind of watch it as it finishes, which is what we do with this show.
Right.
I had it in my calendar when to start this show, literally had it written down. And we liked it so much that we actually caught up to, I think it was the 15-16 coming out. We had to wait a week, actually. Mm-hmm. So this show has quite a bit to talk about. It is not, unfortunately, not what we expected it was going to be in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're just going to start off talking about a bunch of the main characters, which this show actually, it's quite a lot.
It's very strong. Their character, the characters,
the
are
characters
actually pretty
were
strong.
Good. No, I think the characters were good. But yeah, okay. So let's start with the two leads. So Nam Heng-sun. So Heng-sun, I for the most part liked her character. I mean, she had to go from wanting to be on the national team, like, and no, she was on the national
she
team
was.
As an athlete. You know, she was building up her life and her career and then had to drop it to raise her niece.
It was an amazing sacrifice.
Oh, it was amazing. Really? Oh, my gosh. Which I think her having to do that kind of resulted in that she sometimes had, I feel like, was that kind of person who's like, I'll just do it myself kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, depending on who it was. Like, she was pretty stubborn with stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
But I, for the most part, didn't mind that. Like, every now and then you're like, oh my gosh, just get over it, you know?
What I didn't like about her character was her impulsiveness.
Mm.
That she just, I mean, this is a grown woman.
Yeah.
Who has been raising a daughter and running a business. And yet she does things without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bothered me about her character.
Right.
Now, it was pretty consistent.
That's
she
true.
Did that most of the time in the show.
Mm-hmm,
but
did.
Every time she did that, I was like, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Again?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times what the result of that was it didn't fix things or help things.
Yeah, a lot of times it made it worse.
Exactly.
Actually, which is tricky because I know she was going at it like she was trying to help.
Exactly. Oh,
and
yeah.
And she didn't know it was going to make it worse.
Right.
But it was
right.
sometimes a little frustrating.
It was.
But her relationship with Hae and Hae-woo and what's her name? Young-ju, her best friend.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing to see how close she was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she did rely on them for a lot, especially
right,
Young-ju.
Right.
I mean, because they were running the business and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But it was, you know, just their family relationship, I think, was something that was, this
yeah.
show did very well.
Yeah, she took family very seriously.
Oh, extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the most part, I did like her character. And I think the stuff that I didn't like was a bit more minor and only more here and there. Like, it was more, like, sprinkled throughout instead of, like, oh, I hated this part of her character. I definitely didn't feel that way.
Mm.
But she wasn't my favorite, I guess.
I think, honestly, I liked Young-ju better. I liked her character
honestly,
better.
Honestly, in some ways. But they played off each other
oh,
really
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
They were a good, the two of them were a good balance.
They were a good balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure. But, and it's something that I hate when shows have a weak female lead, like, purposely. But then you can have sometimes where your female lead is too, what's the word? I can't think of the word, but it's like, is too, like, I'll do it myself.
Self-reliant?
Yeah, or something like that, yeah. Like, she'll, you know, only say, like, oh, I'll do it myself. I don't need anybody's help, this and that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Hang Sung was quite that, but she was getting close to, like, too much. But I understand her perspective having to do it herself because she literally had to raise her niece and look after her brother all herself.
Right.
So I kind of get why she was like that in some ways. But yeah, her being a bit impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Impulsive.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Then we have Chiyul. I really liked Chiyul's character.
Yeah. Now he, at first, you might have gotten the impression that he was kind of stuck up.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think that was just part of the persona that he was putting mm-hmm. on for the company, I guess.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you saw him talk about his students, mm-hmm. you knew that he was making a boatload of money, but he was there for the kids.
He really was, yeah. But man, oh my gosh, the acting was so good mm-hmm. that he was extremely expressive.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of it, but majority of it was a realistic expressive.
Yeah.
Like, we recently reviewed My Cuteness is About to Expire, a Japanese show that is basically, it's not based off a manga, but it feels like a manga.
Mm-hmm.
So the male lead in that is extremely expressive, but in, like, a manga way. So slightly, a little bit more unrealistic versus Chiyul. I found most of the time how he was expressive and stuff, like, I could see an actual person.
Even when, at one point where you hear his inner thoughts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's very, it's not the
stereotypical?
Well, I'm picturing, often you'll see when a girl agrees to date a guy or whatever, mm. you'll see him laying on his bed, kicking his feet, and getting all giggly and excited. Yeah. It wasn't like that. He was much more of an adult about it.
He was. I would say he was probably like 40-ish.
Right.
Somewhere in there, yeah. And a lot of the time when he did this, like, super kind of animated, like, expressiveness was when he was alone.
Yes.
Which made it even more like, oh, yeah, no one's looking. You're just, you know, react uh-huh. and stuff. But I loved seeing the different sides to his character. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first, you just see him working and doing great and this and that. And then you saw how literally miserable he actually was. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's something you'll definitely see, a little tropey that, like, you more see it with a CEO character, which he was not, that, oh, the CEO is so great, but he's, like, this inner, like,
lonely and
well, yes, they but for some I was not annoyed at how they did it with him.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
And they didn't have it like it was a mixture of things as well. He did have a trauma that he was dealing with, but then he also had this huge workload. He was so overworked.
And he basically got rejected by all of his former friends.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So he was truly alone.
He really was, yeah. And seeing him kind of work through that and be able to come out of that, I think was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that also wasn't immediate. Like, in the beginning of the show, they always joked about how he would draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always do it. And to see how it took someone like Hang Sun, who is stubborn,
mm-hmm.
to break through that. Which
And how it changed him.
It did.
Being in a relationship with her made him change.
Yeah, definitely. But he didn't change super, super drastically.
No, he was still consistent with his character.
Definitely. And I think that was well done, that he changed in the way that he can eat again. He's able to sleep mm-hmm. more. But he was still stressed at work. He still had a huge workload. But he still cared about his students. And, you know, certain things changed. But I think the core of his character mm-hmm. definitely stayed the same.
I think what was interesting is, at the beginning of the show, he didn't even know the names of his teaching assistants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But by the end, he did. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's those walls that she helped him to tear down some of the walls, and because drawing that line made it easier for him.
Yeah.
Now he didn't need that line anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes sense when looking at it from that way. That wasn't just, oh, I'm bad at names. He had this, had a wall up for sure. So, Hei, I really liked Hei's character. Yeah. She was also a extremely convincing high school student.
Yes, she was.
I think, like, probably the two girls in the friend group, I would say, were the most convincing. The two boys, they're a little on the edge. They're all, I think they're all 20, 21, you said?
Yeah, young 20s.
Which I do like that they kept the friend group. So it's Hei, Jaesoo, the hockey player, I can't remember his name, and then the other girl.
Gun-ho, how do you say it?
What are you, what?
Gun-ho.
The hockey player, and then the other girl with the shorter hair.
Right.
They kept the actors were all 20, 21.
Yeah, they were all around the same age.
Even though they're older than 17, 18, but because they were all a similar age, it felt better. One didn't look very much a high schooler, and then one was way older,
yeah.
Sometimes
that helps.
That definitely helped.
Yeah.
But Hei's character, I think it really shows, like part of her unfortunate upbringing, how she kind of Hank's son was very much, I'll figure it out myself, you know, and Hank's son said that multiple times. She doesn't express what she needs and this and that.
She doesn't want to ask. She didn't want to ask her aunt.
She didn't want to be a burden.
To pay for classes for her.
Exactly, for the academy and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they keep that pretty consistent throughout. That she's not I wouldn't call her stubborn. Whereas Hank's son sometimes was, but she was more just trying not to be a burden.
And
basically,
I think she was more, she was less impulsive.
Definitely.
And more aware of the people around her than Hang's son was.
Probably, yeah, in some ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I like that they show that she's very smart.
Yes.
She's not just book smart. She's also, she knows how, to read a room. She's very aware.
Right.
And she's, I don't know, she's just very smart in general. Mm-hmm. And
she's a put-together girl.
She is, oh, for sure. And I liked that about her character.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sometimes just ask for help. But because of how, she was literally abandoned by her birth mom and everything. I can understand how she grew up to have that mentality, for sure. But I do like that, and just her relationship with her uncle and Yeonju and everything is just so... And also with Jaesoo and... Okay, I need to know this other girl's name. Hold on.
Jaesoo. You mean Sunjae?
Sunjae. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Sunjae.
Okay. Sunjae.
Like, who's Jaesoo?
I'm sorry, I mixed up the name.
Okay.
Sunjae.
Sunjae.
Wait, where is she?
You mean the other girl?
Where is she in this cast list?
I don't remember her name.
Hold on. Oh, there she... Sorry. Donji.
Oh, there we go.
Sunjae and Donji. I really liked Hei's relationship with the two of them, and then later on, Gyeonghu as well. They're just kind of oh, we're friends, we're cool. I loved how they were really there for each other.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I like the fact that yes, he had a crush, Sunjae had a crush on her, but it didn't take over their relationship.
No, it didn't.
You know, he waited a good long time, and what's really funny is that he got rejected.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, he basically...
But then he was like, okay, I'll wait. You basically told me to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
And he did that.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And then Gun-ho.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time saying
that. I know,
I
could not remember.
When he comes in and just tells him straight up to his face, well, I have a crush on her too, so what are you going to do about it?
He's hilarious.
But then they became really good friends, regardless of that.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it later, but we can
talk
about it now.
Sorry,
sorry, sorry. No, it's fine, it's fine. And we have Hei.
He was just a very Gun-ho. The hockey player.
Gun-ho.
Was a very fun character.
He was a very fun
I enjoyed
character.
His
oh
character.
My gosh, yeah. Then we have Hei Woo, who's the uncle. Jaewoo. Sorry. Jaewoo. I wrote it down wrong. Jaewoo. Sorry. And he was, oh yeah, what have we seen him in? The actor. Oh, shoot. What was it? Hold on. I'm looking it up. You talk about it.
I don't remember. Okay. Well, one of the things that we did notice, we really loved how they didn't make a big deal out of him being on the autistic spectrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They basically mentioned it once to kind of explain to the audience.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And to explain to the other characters
right,
as well.
Right. And they just treated him... they treated his character mm-hmm. as just another character in the story.
In a good way.
In a very good way. They didn't, like, make it all about poor uncle.
They didn't make it feel like you were supposed to pity him.
Exactly.
Which you weren't.
He came to. And he came to work every day mm-hmm. and he did his walks every day and mm-hmm. and also what was really interesting was that he and Yeonju eventually mm-hmm. became a couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Some people would be like, that's weird, you know. How can she have feelings for somebody like that? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just so sweet. Because when she listed...
I figured out what we'd seen him in before.
She listed the things that she wants in a man,
mm-hmm.
she realized that he fit all those criteria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In some ways, the two getting together felt a little... just push them together a little bit. Like, I'm on both sides of it. Mm. I like that they got together. I mean, they've known each other for years. They know each other in and out, like, that kind of thing. But then, in some ways, it felt like a little bit, they're just trying to pair everybody up a little bit.
A little.
But I think, for the most part, it was kind of nice to see, like, and I like that they showed it from Yeonju, like, being like, oh, wait a second, he has all these criteria.
Right, after she's, like, she's been trying and trying and trying and trying mm-hmm. to find a guy, mm-hmm. and then she realized, wait a minute, there's one standing right here next
exactly,
to me.
Exactly, yeah. So one of the things we've seen him in is True Beauty. He played the teacher who, I believe, got together with the older sister.
There
we go. We've seen him in that.
He's a very good actor.
Oh, he's very good. We've seen him. Oh, he was also in Weightlifting. I think he was an upperclassman or something. I'm not 100% sure. He was in, he had a minor one there. He was in While You Were Sleeping. Okay. Romance is a Bonus Book. Oh, who was he in that?
Wasn't he the husband? No, he wasn't the husband.
No. We've seen him in a few things.
But his acting is very, very good.
Yeah. And then one of the specific things I wanted to mention with Jaewoo was the incident at the cafe with him.
Yeah.
This was something that I like, you know, how he said that they didn't make it a big deal that he was autistic.
Mm-hmm.
This, I like that they showed this part, though, like these struggles that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't just autistic. He also had heart problems, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like that they established this as well, that he would go on walks every day to this cafe to get the one employee's waffles.
Right.
And they had this established, like, for episodes mm-hmm. that he would do this. And then you see the one time where he goes, the employee's not there, and then he comes back in the evening. And how the employee thinks he's, like, not stalking her, but I guess that's kind of the right word.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, the whole big incident happens, and, you know, he ends up at the police, like, holding cell and everything.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, there's a big deal, but I like that they did take the time, though, to show what some of the struggles can be like for mm-hmm. him, especially because, Hanks, I mentioned, he's very, high-functioning, like, whatever the word is, I know there's a word for it, that, you know, she mentioned he can do all the daily tasks perfectly fine. He just has trouble socializing, like, that sort of thing, with, like, social interaction and everything. And he can't, you know, probably can't read people maybe as well and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was really sad because, you know, these employees at the cafe made such a big deal out of it, and you're like,
dude, to see. Be observant.
Yeah. I mean, come really, on. I know. It was kind of weird, but.
No, I can imagine as the female employee, it might be a little uncomfortable.
I can understand that.
I can understand
for
that.
For sure.
Yeah. But it was the boyfriend's overreaction.
Yeah, that it was a lot. Yeah. But I do think that showing that this stuff can happen was important, but they didn't make it this huge, huge thing. It happened. They resolved it. It was over. Like, I like how they how they wrapped it up, though.
Yeah.
And then Youngju, she was hysterical.
She was funny.
I really liked her.
Yeah, I like how she spoke her mind all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
All the time.
Yeah. Her and Hyungsun, oh, my word, they bounced off each other amazingly. Like, every single scene with just them two talking back and forth, this is going to sound strange. This is going to sound so weird. It was so Korean. They were so, how in Korean, that expressiveness, they were like that so much with each other.
I don't know. Did you notice how their speed at which they talked increased when they talked to each other?
Oh, my gosh. They were much faster when they talked to each other. It was like, whoo, gosh. Yeah. It was, but she was so fun. And one thing you mentioned, or you noted, was how Youngju comforted Hyungsun, Hae, and Jaewoo.
Right.
At different points in the show.
Yeah. Of all those scenes, she wound up hugging them and comforting them. And like I said earlier, she was their rock. I mean, she was there for them.
Yes. And she was definitely like part of their family.
And what's cool is she didn't have to go into this big old speech.
Oh, gosh, no.
She just gave him a hug. I mean, she was there.
And told him it was going
to
be okay.
And listened to them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's often what people need. People don't necessarily need somebody who's going to say, okay, here's the solution to your problem.
Well, you do that second.
Yes.
You comfort first, and then you figure it out second, for sure.
But some people don't know how to do that. Some people go right to solving the problem.
But
let the person cry first.
Yeah.
You know, and then move on.
Yeah, but she was so fun. I loved her relationship with him. And she was also just a funny character, you know, on that kind of thing. So now we have Ji Dong Hui, who's the assistant to Chiyol. We'll talk about him a little bit more, but before the whole murder stuff got revealed, I actually really liked his character. I was very disappointed when they revealed that he was the whole backstory and stuff, and that he was the one doing it. But before that, like, putting that aside for a second, in the very beginning of the show, I thought he was such a good assistant.
Hardworking,
and he was really there for Chiyol, which
he was.
You know, and everything like that, like, I never really suspected it until later on, but I was a little frustrated because I thought he was oh man, I love that they have how Chiyol and Donghui would, how they would bounce off each other. I liked how they did it. I don't know. I just actually he wasn't my favorite character, but I did really enjoy his relationship with Chiyol and how he helped him, how he bounced off of him until we, later found out the rest of it all.
So think about your disappointment when you found out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Chiyol's disappointment? How much worse it is for his character to find out that this person he's been relying on for years.
6 years, I think they
said? His motivations just kind of off.
Yeah, and we'll get into all that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a second. But before the whole thing was revealed, I actually did quite like his character. Mm-hmm. And when they started hinting at it, I was very disappointed.
Yes, you were. No,
I was like,
not
you
him.
Can't with him. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the heck? Okay, then Sunjae. We kind of already mentioned Sunjae and Gunhu, but yeah, their whole friendship that developed was so fun. Oh, my gosh. But I also really liked, and Sunjae, it was hard because we really got to see his home life.
Yeah.
Which was very depressing.
Extremely.
Very sad.
Though and I really liked his relationship with his older brother.
Yeah, he never let it, like, faze him, really. He mm-hmm. never saw him of any less of a brother.
Right.
Even though, you know, he was a shut-in, that he'd failed the test mm-hmm. and this and that, but he did still really, really care for him.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's not like he didn't care for his mom either, you know. It's
right, right.
Mm-hmm.
But like the moment when his brother came into his room and just put his hand on his shoulder mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. it was, he knew what he was going through.
Yeah, he could relate to it, yeah. It was cool seeing, even though they interacted so little, mm-hmm. all the stuff when Sanjay interacted with his older brother. It was really cool to
yeah.
see. For sure. So then the moms, this is just them in general. One of the funniest comments I had at the very beginning of the show was I mentioned that they were super nosy, super gossipy, but I literally said something about them not being super nasty with each other.
Right.
Which, I don't know. They kind of did end up being, depending on the mom.
Yeah,
some of them
did.
Were, some weren't.
Yeah.
I still found it quite interesting that they did the thing where they would show them having coffee together and
mm-hmm.
like they were always gossiping about, you know, the latest news. But
right.
I did find it kind of interesting that they showed that the moms did have a relationship with each other even though their kids are technically competing.
Mm,
they had that
right.
kind of interesting balance. But
if you noticed, the only one in that little circle whose child wasn't in the top seven kids.
Yeah, was
the one lady. And often, Suah's mom.
Yeah, I don't
would
know
say, why are you even here?
They said that all
you're
the time.
You're not even in this.
I think that
your
was,
daughter's, why are you here?
I think that was hilarious. But the moms, they were, sure, they were needed in the plot. They were a big part of this plot. It got a little tiring, though,
yeah.
to see them, you know, backlash about this, complain to the school about that, and on and on and on and on. It got a little tiring to see after
yeah.
a while.
And to see one mom that should have that much power
oh gosh,
over
that was
the school.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Uh-huh. Over
yeah.
the academy
yeah.
and that as well, not just the school.
Mm.
Yeah, it went from beginning, oh, I can see moms doing this for their kids. Like
you know, standing in line for their
seats.
And,
like,
yeah,
air driving
yeah.
them.
It's crazy, but I can see it.
Yeah, but then when it got to the point of her being the Suah's mom, being the point of kicking out a student.
With the bullhorn in front of the school.
And one of the things I was really annoying with how two-faced all these moms were, it was annoying. But they were kind of needed in the story.
Mm.
I understand that. The last characters were the office workers at Pride, the academy. I actually like how, for the most part, how they portrayed them. They were very hardworking. Yes, they didn't love Chiel, but they didn't hate him
right.
either.
They honestly wanted to be noticed by him.
Yeah, and I totally understand
uh-huh.
that.
And they were so excited.
When he
remembered
the
names.
Their names. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
But it's because
it was interesting also that they kept them within a certain age group.
They did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, it's because I mainly noted it because we recently recorded a thing about talking about 1%, 1% of something. And we talked about the office workers
mm-hmm.
and that, how much we really disliked their characters.
Yeah.
How they hated the male lead, and that's all they would talk about.
Right.
But in this, they didn't. Like I said, they didn't love him, but they didn't hate him. They actually did like working with him, and they could tell he was a hard worker, which I feel like made them also work hard.
They also didn't have any extra scenes of just them
chatting or anything. Very minor.
Whenever, most of the time, the scenes that they were in was when Chiel was in the office or Donghae
yeah,
was
like,
in the office.
Yeah, like when Chiel.
They were needed in the scene.
They were. I mean, they would show, you know, they would show some moments of them talking, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he still can't remember my name. But
mm-hmm.
they kept them just enough that
yeah.
it was fine, for sure. Okay, now we're going to get into a little bit more general. So, like, less about specific characters. So,
mm-hmm.
the relationships in this
mm-hmm.
show. So,
well, we talked about the relationships between the family unit. Mm-hmm. No, the family unit.
Oh, sorry, the family
unit. Yeah. Hei and her family. Mm-hmm. And how...
Yeah, I think they portray that really
considering
well.
Considering the mom had abandoned her and there was no dad. Mm-hmm. Considering all, you know, the circumstances, they were a very healthy family.
They really were. I mean, yes, every family is going to have their problems and issues, but they were really there for each other. Mm-hmm. It was really cool to see mm-hmm. that they really, truly felt like a family.
Yeah.
I really liked that. Then we have the leads relationship, Chiyol and...
Hangsun.
Hangsun. We've said so many names.
I know.
Yeah. Chiyol and Hangsun. So they didn't get together until around episode 11, mm-hmm. which was the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And their whole, like, in the beginning where they were very much bickering, they kind of hated each other. Very typical K-drama plot, but I did like how they did it. And then towards the middle where they had, not middle of the show, but between the beginning and episode 11, before they got together. In the middle, they had a bit more chemistry going on. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get along a little bit more. Right.
And then he felt like he needed to back off. And
yes, this was something that I actually really liked.
Yeah.
You did too. When I actually completely forgot about this. When we heard an inner thought from him, or it was him talking to his assistant, I remember, mentioning that she's married. Yeah. He was like, how can I like a married woman? That is so wrong. I can't believe I thought that, you know, that kind of stuff. And that really showed his character.
Yeah.
That he really is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does, like, know the boundaries there and how he fully stepped back once he basically realized his own feelings. He's like, I can't. This is wrong. I just can't. And... then also after that, his confession was very good. Oh, my word. You want to say what it was?
I really like the way he said, I was the one with feelings. She was kind and bright. And just the way he did it because he was defending her.
Yes,
and
he
saying,
was.
It was my fault. Mm-hmm. I was the one. And I like the fact that he... while saying this, he was answering somebody's question.
He was, yeah.
He looked at her
the whole time.
He's
right at her. Yeah, that was really cool. Mm. But it was tricky though, because I did like, oh, they're bickering in the beginning. Then you saw their chemistry and how, you know, she was starting to pull him a little bit out of his shell, and then they finally got together. And then they didn't do much with their relationship.
I didn't really.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
The part that I did like that they did was because Chiyol had already been tutoring Hei. He'd been around the house a lot. He already, you know, he knew Hei well. Mm-hmm. He had become closer with Jaewoo, the uncle, and even Yongju, he knew quite well. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd already started to know the family, and so he very quickly kind of became part of that.
Right, that's true.
That part of it, mm-hmm. I actually really liked. I mentioned how I really liked showing the relationship, not with him and Hangsun, mm-hmm. him and the family.
I think they... he would come over for their...
Chicken day.
Chicken night.
And he would just... in some ways, I like how he would just drop by, or he would give Hangsun a ride, or, you know, they were two extremely busy people.
Oh, yeah.
Especially him. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was running her own business here. Like, in some ways, I liked that a lot of their dating was just them hanging out in between work, and, you know, they're small things, but they almost did that too much.
To the point that... it felt like they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. There are so many shows that do show, like, the lead couple dating. Yes, shows a lot of time bring in really annoying misunderstandings, and a lot of shows don't know what to do with the plot once they are together.
Exactly, yeah.
But there are some shows that do it well. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have to bring in other things, but this plot already had other things
going on. So then what happened was the whole focus of the show
shifted.
Yes,
and that
it was
very...
almost like...
it was too... It wasn't. It was too much. Too sudden.
Because I remember saying there's a good balance. There's a good balance between their romance and kind of the dark. There's the mystery, yeah. And then there's the home lives of the students.
Yeah, there were multiple things they had here.
There's a good balance there. But then once they got together, the romance sort of took a back seat.
It did, but too much.
The rest.
Yeah, it was very annoying that. I mean, I like that, yeah, they're 40-year-olds, one has a family, both have a job. It's not like they're going to go on dates every night. It's just not realistic.
Right.
But it was almost to the point that we didn't get to see. I mean, they were really there for each other. Like, mm-hmm. when Hei was in the hospital, Chiyo would be there all the time. Like, they were there for each other. They really were. But we just didn't get to see enough romance after they got together, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It was very frustrating because I think they could have taken the plot in multiple directions than what they did do with it.
Well, I think they... The whole plot with Donghui, it kind of had to do that. It had to take over.
Which, in some ways, I like that they at least were establishing the murder plot line.
Right. The whole time.
Basically, the entire show.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like that they at least took the time to establish it, but that it went... It was funny because I was talking to my dad about this, how, oh yeah, we're watching a romance that turned into a murder mystery. Like,
yeah,
it was like, you're like, what is happening with this plot? I'm fine with, I mean, this plot, I think what's frustrating, this plot already had a lot going on.
Yeah.
You had Chiyol and his work. You'd Hang Sun and Chiyol dating. You'd Hang Sun and her work. You had Hei and her classmates, you'd each classmates' home lives, academy life.
There's like a lot
you
going
had the
on.
Mom's whole socials, whatever. You actually had a lot of different characters, a lot of different plot lines already.
Right.
But they had to add another one. It was frustrating. And I think they could have done the relationship between Chiyol and Hang Sun. Like, without having to have this whole murder mystery thing. Like, you know, like, when I said when Hei was in the hospital and they showed how Chiyol was really there for Hang Sun, they could have showed that in without having to have that. You know? I just...
Without having that threat that she's going to be murdered in her bed.
Exactly. Yeah. It was frustrating.
Though, see, the thing is... In and of itself,
the plot line of him was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Who was he and why was he there and what was the point and all the killings and happening.
I think it was pretty decently done.
Honestly, that could have been its own show without 100%. The romantic part.
Yeah, it's just that...
And it would have been a good show.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. I mean... It was a little too predictable.
There was too much. They tried to do too much, I think.
Yeah, that in the beginning of the show, like, all those plot lines I just named, they had going on.
Yeah.
They already had so much going on in this show that them adding the murder mystery became too much. And because they added the murder mystery, they took literally everything else and pushed it to the sidelines, which it... I think it was too big a shift in storyline.
Yeah, I agree.
The only show I can think of off the top of my head that has, it's not similar at all, but that has a murder mystery, something going on, other than the romance, is like Camilla. Camilla's very, very different.
But they maintain both the whole time.
They do. And they have, also the murder mystery is different, and it was done in a very different way, and they also had the two stories paralleling a lot more. This one, yes, they started establishing the murder mystery happening, but it was not paralleling. It was very much the minor plot line compared to, like, the romance and stuff. Then also, you wanted to mention the with the friends and their home lives.
Oh, it was such a contrast between how the kids at school with each other, they had really nice relationships where they were there for each other and stuff. And then these poor kids go from school to an academy until late at night.
Yeah.
And then they go to these home lives. Sanjay and Su-ah. Su-ah's life.
Well, she didn't have a great life at school, is what I was saying. She didn't have a great life.
But her father wasn't even living.
No, that's Sanjay. Sorry, that was Sanjay, yeah.
Well, Su-ah's dad, they were just pretending in front of her.
Well, no, that was only till the very, very end they were pretending. Before that, the mom had no idea.
It was only the dad having an affair.
I think it was Sanjay especially. He had, you know, if you just looked at, you know, him interacting with people at school, you know, he was super nice.
He was relaxed and chill.
He was chill. He was there for people. And then at home, it was just so depressing.
You could see the danger for him to basically happen to him what happened to his brother.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, because their mom was just pushing. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, I understood her point.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you're not in the top, you're not getting into that top college, and you're not going to get that top career. Mm-hmm. But as Sanjay asked her, are you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you get into the top college and get the top career, that's not going to make you happy,
yeah,
necessarily.
And they also mentioned, I don't remember which mom it was with, she was living vicariously through her kid. I don't remember who it was.
That was Su-ah's mom.
Was it Su-ah's mom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She
didn't get into the top school.
Exactly, that she was... Basically,
she didn't have a career.
She was pushing her kid for what she couldn't have.
Yeah.
Which in some ways, I completely understand that. And I've heard that in real life a lot, like especially with immigrant parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is something that I want to give you the opportunities I literally did not have.
I don't want you to live the life I lived.
Which I understand that perspective. Yeah. But, and that is one thing this show sort of, I mean, it was a lot of the plot touched on was the reality of what school life can be like in Korea. Like, I took a virtual language class, like, for Korean, and we had guest speakers, and one of them was a school teacher from Korea. And I think it was during then, or maybe a different time, but he did mention stuff about this. And then at some point, our teacher, who was from Korea, grew up there, showed us, like, this documentary clip. I think it was from, like, a British documentary. It was quite old, but it was a clip showing how these kids would do this, exactly what they're doing in the show. Go to school all day, then go to an academy, and also they were mentioning how it was, like, the mom's duty to get their kids in a good school. Like, if you don't, it's not... Oh, your kid's just not smart enough. It's what did you do wrong?
You're failing as a mother.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the pressure that there's pressure on the moms, and then they're taking that pressure, putting it on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole system is so crazy. And especially from, you know, where I'm also homeschooled personally, I have in my whole life that. I have never had anything like this before. Mm-mm. In some ways, I could probably relate to it more if I went to a private or public school. No, I don't have an academy, but I probably would have after-school activities and that kind of thing. And homework. I don't really have homework.
No, you do it during the day.
I take some classes outside of at home, but if I do have homework, I only have homework for one or two classes not, you know, a ton. And... You know, for me, I've also been fortunate in the way that how I've been homeschooled, I've been given the opportunity to do stuff that I enjoy. Like, I did dance for 10 years. And yes, all my other people who I did dance with were in public school, but I don't know how they managed it.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's even within the homeschool community, there are other people, other moms who are very strict. They want their kids to get in a good college. And, you know, it's tricky because there's nothing wrong with wanting that for your kids.
Right.
But
does your kid want that?
It's that you can get to a certain level that it is too...
Oh, yeah.
You're making it worse instead of helping, basically.
And you know what they didn't even show? They didn't show these kids... These kids probably all take another language.
Oh. They did mention language arts and stuff.
And probably a majority of them also take an instrument. Because the whole point, you need to be a well-rounded student.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest character they showed it with was Sua. How, you know, her mom would... She would go to school, her mom would pick her up from academy, then she had online classes that night.
That night.
When does this girl have time to eat or sleep?
She eats in front of the screen while she's taking her classes.
How does she do homework? Like, when did... And it is something that... It was frustrating because they had a very good opportunity with Sua and showing how this can affect someone mentally.
Yeah.
They had a very good opportunity. They did show that, but they did not resolve it. They resolved it terribly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was a big part of this plot, was showing how stressful the student lives are. Mm-hmm. And it was like, sometimes it was hard to watch because I'm over here being very, in some ways, privileged in my position that also part of the reason that I had my schooling how it was I was not college bound.
Right, right.
I mean, just personally, like...
That was our choice, though.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You and us together mm-hmm. made that choice.
Whereas some of my older siblings were more college bound than I was just because they... multiple reasons, you know?
Well, for the first two... Mm. Well, the first one, we knew he was going to college when he was 4.
And he is in college. You
know? The second one, we didn't know.
Right.
We prepared him for college because it was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, and he definitely could have gone to college.
Yes, he could have. He could have done very well,
too. Oh, yes. But his career, he had nothing that interested or benefited
him. Well, see, he did go to language school.
He went to a language school, but he didn't go to a college.
But that gave him, like, a little taste.
Yes.
And that's when he decided, college is not for me.
He was thinking about
college. Yeah, he was. For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was one thing that this show, I think, did an interesting thing of showing how, just kind of showing the reality of it. They weren't trying to solve the problem of these kids having to go to the academy.
Yeah,
because it's not a simple fix. It's extremely hard to try and, quote-unquote, solve it. It's not really solvable, per se.
Even Chiyol.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, as much as he agreed that this is too much, you shouldn't send them back to class when one of their classmates
died. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that college entrance exams are coming mm-hmm. up. These kids need to study.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This one test will affect the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
And he was well aware of that.
He knew that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was, he grew up, you could see it was the same for him when he was studying mm-hmm. to become a teacher. Like,
yep.
It, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But from that, big tangent there.
Yeah.
But it was something that I feel like I've researched a little bit about it. I had that class where they, talked about it a little bit. I'm pretty aware of what it's like, you know, from an outside perspective, mm-hmm. of course. I've never done it myself. But I think it is something that they don't really, at least the K-dramas we've watched, they don't show very often. It's actually how stressful the lives of these students are and can be. And it made sense for this plot. It was based around an academy, so it made perfect mm-hmm. sense. Let's talk about the murder cases here. This is the other big part of this plot. So I think the funniest thing, it's not funny, but the funniest thing was we predicted the whole shebang.
We figured it all out.
The whole thing.
We figured it all
out. Which, we did say it was a good plot, but when you have a mystery... I mean, mind you, they were making it blatantly obvious. It was a mystery up until, like, episode 10, 11. Then they just kind of started revealing
it. In episode 12, they revealed it all.
Yes,
and then you knew.
No, but in episode 10, they started hinting at it.
Yes.
So, The first hint we got, it was very, very minor. We caught on immediately. We took it and ran. Was in episode 10, was when the older detective ran into the assistant and was like, oh, I know him from somewhere but couldn't place it.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately started speculating.
Oh,
immediately
yeah.
were like, crap, it's him. Mm-hmm. Just from that.
Yep.
And then the next thing, this is kind of funny, was when, this was after Chiel and Hank's son got together. They were very recently had gotten together. I think it was in episode 11.
Mm-hmm.
That Donghui brought Chiel coffee.
And was yeah, like, that was so
this,
weird.
This is weird. And he was like, oh, here's your coffee. And Chiel was like, oh, I'll just have water. And Donghui was like, why? And he was like, oh, Hank's son said, I should probably stop drinking so much caffeine. And Donghui just had this expression on his face that you're like, oh my gosh, it's him. Like,
yeah.
Oh my word. Like, it was crazy. And by end of episode 11, both of us, some you, some me, some us combined,
yeah,
had predicted he's the murderer. He was the brother of the student
that committed suicide.
That committed suicide. We knew, we guessed that. And that his first, you guessed that he was there for revenge.
Right.
And then I said, that makes no sense because...
Then we decided, well, no, it can't be revenge.
Because it makes no sense. The people he killed were hurting Chiel.
Right.
And he's kind of, quote unquote, here, defending him.
To protect him.
And basically we came up with, oh, he's obsessed with Chiel and is wanting to protect him because he was the only adult that the daughter trusted. The sister trusted. We hit the nail on the head.
We had that by the end of episode 11. And it was the very next episode
where they actually revealed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had completely guessed all that.
So, is it a good mystery if you can totally predict everything?
I don't know.
We were never surprised.
No, we never were at all. We were just like, oh, okay, so that's how they put it together. We were never surprised.
Yeah.
Mind you, I think they did a good job at the very beginning of the mystery. We blatantly just assumed that it was the older brother of Sanjay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you were supposed to think.
Because of the silhouette.
Yeah.
Mind you, by episode 10, 11, they were making the hints pretty obvious.
Well, when he went out and he was feeding the cats, then you knew it wasn't him.
Oh, yeah, you knew it wasn't him. And I think it was a little... It was mostly just the thing with the detective recognizing Donghui, and then the coffee. I think there was something else later on that episode or something that he mentioned. I think there was something else in there. But we very quickly... We didn't just guess, oh, he's the murderer. We guessed why, who he was, his motivations. And then, yeah, it was... I don't know. Was it a good mystery? We literally call everything.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We called the kidnapping.
Oh, yeah, the kidnapping happened later on with Hei and everything. Mm. So, with Donghui's... Sorry.
You're fine.
With Donghui, how they did it, honestly, I do like that they took the time to really show his backstory. They showed when he was a kid.
Yes.
They showed his relationship with his sister and his mom.
Yeah. So you could understand the motivation behind all this.
Yes. This started from when he was, gosh, was he even in high school then? He was a middle school student.
Yeah.
Like this had been years mm-hmm. building up to this.
Yeah.
It was quite creepy, honestly, seeing him. We saw that it was a conversation with his older sister saying, the sister was like, oh, I want to work with Chiel. And that years later, he's now working with Chiel was like, oh, shoot.
Right.
And I do remember them noting the whole thing with, they're like, oh, that's a cool, ink color that he had in his pen. Mm. I didn't catch on to that right away. I thought it was a spawn, actually. That's what I thought it was. Because, you know, these shows do that where they try and write them into the plot. I actually thought that is what they were doing.
Oh, that's funny.
Because they made it blatantly obvious that they were pointing out this fountain pen and the color of the ink. I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't catch on that it was the same pen because I, you know. But seeing, I like they gave his backstory. We saw his motivations and everything like that. And, you know, they connected all the dots and everything. I think the most frustrating part was the ending of that storyline, which ended in 14, I believe. It was that after Chiyol had found everything out, and also after Donghui basically came trying to freaking murder Hei, which was weird. I'm like, you're in a hospital in broad daylight. Yeah. I feel like you'd figure out a better solution here. But, and so it was Chiyol chasing him. They went up to the rooftop, and unfortunately, he ended up committing suicide. But it
it made sense. He's like, well, I'm no longer needed.
Yes, I was that part of it. He couldn't go back to quote unquote regular life.
No, he couldn't.
He had been building up to this probably even before middle school, but specifically working with Chiyol since middle school, basically most of his life. Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't just switch. No, I understand that perspective.
Now, mind you, he would have gone to prison anyway, but
he would have, very obviously, but so I wasn't surprised. I was, you know, obviously sad that it had to come to that, but I wasn't surprised. Yes. Mm-hmm. The worst part they did with this was Chiyol had worked with him for 5-6 years. Extremely close to him, had relied on him. Honestly, at some point, he was like the only friend, family, whatever that he had before he met Hang's son and everything, but They showed a scene for, like, a few days. Chiyol wouldn't eat and wouldn't come out of his apartment. Hang's son came over, comforted him, as you would, and then he got over it. That is not enough for how much this should have affected Chiyol. I don't like how they resolved that. That, especially because Chiyol had... Especially with Donghui's sister, how his sister had killed herself, and then that had affected Chiyol for years.
Right.
And then watching his own assistant do it, and there's no way he would have gotten over that quickly. I'm not saying I wanted him to suffer for the rest of his life. No. Absolutely not. I'm glad.
But they didn't show any after effects.
Except for one tiny little scene that he wouldn't come out of his apartment and everything. That wasn't resolved well. There would have been lasting effects for him because there were so many lasting effects for the sister. And now that happened, that was so frustrating. Yeah,
but see, you can't do that in a drama because then it's not a happy ending.
Well, no, I'm saying that I wish they would have had him have, conversations with Hang's son about it or show how it affected him in minor ways. Like him, you know, at work, he goes to drive his car. He's like, oh my gosh, he's not here to drive me.
Or
like,
he would turn to talk to him.
Yeah. Or, like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need him having horrible nightmares.
No.
But the minor things that he's worked with this person for 6 years. So it's going to be a habit there still. And they didn't, exactly, like, you know, him turning to him at work or him trying, you know,
but
trying
again,
to call him. But
happy endings.
Yes.
Don't show that. And if you think about it, that's one of those things that everybody got a happy ending.
That was so frustrating, that show. But they had, hold on, they had two whole episodes before the ending.
I know.
They could have showed it in 15 and then he got over it by 16.
Sure,
that would have worked fine, but... It's not just that he got over it. Everyone in the office, it's like it never happened. Yeah. Mind you, when you're at work, you're not going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my coworker just freaking died. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was no, like, in the office, they all loved Donghui. There was no, like, grieving that they showed.
That
he was gone. It was very frustrating. Super, super frustrating. So then the very ending, which was the last two episodes-ish, this was when, so this murder plot, I like that they established this the whole time, at least. Mm-hmm. I don't like that it switched the main plot, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The ending was you didn't know what to do.
Yep.
Straight
okay.
up.
They're together. That plot line's done. The murder's been solved.
That plot line's been done.
Oh, shoot. We have two more episodes. Now what do we do?
Oh, we'll bring the birth mom into it.
That was such a waste of time.
It was a insane waste of time. So it was frustrating.
We didn't learn anything about any characters.
No!
It didn't make any characters grow in any way.
At all. It was a useless plot line.
It was.
So they bring in the birth mom. I believe it was in 15. Mm-hmm. And then she was probably into 16, I believe. It was very frustrating because I mentioned to you at one point that every scene in those episodes that the birth mom wasn't in, it still felt like the same show.
Right.
It still felt good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were still resolving with Hei being in the coma and everything. And then everything with that. But the birth mom's character was so useless.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it that somehow that would bring something out of, I mean, it did bring something out of Hei, but it was really stupid, and it just was pointless. And it was frustrating when Hei was like, I'm going to go with my birth mom to Japan, blah, 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 which we very obviously caught on to. It was her trying to get the mom away because she was asking for money and stuff.
Yeah.
But I, in some ways, was very annoyed at that plot. I'm like, Hei is so smart. That's really your option you jump to. But then, yes, she is the type to try and figure out on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind
and
of see
And she doesn't
it.
Want to be a further burden on not only her aunt, but now her aunt's boyfriend.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's been a burden all her life, and mm-hmm. I can see where she jumps
I
to.
I can see where she jumped to.
I gotta fix this.
Yes.
And this is the only way to fix this.
Mm-hmm. But I did not really like how they resolved the birth mom, that she went from this very quite nasty character to like, oh my gosh, reminiscing, oh my gosh, my daughter I've never cared for, and like, it felt a little like she went from to, oh my gosh.
I'm here to get money.
She went from, I'm here to get money to, like, a resolved, happy character.
Really yeah.
Too quickly.
Yeah.
Way too
They should have just not even
bothered. And she was also
that.
Extremely annoying, which mm-hmm. I think was very purposeful.
It was very purposeful.
One thing I did mention, how, I remember mentioning this to you, how all the characters felt quite realistic.
Mm-hmm.
None of them felt super over-the-top drama character.
She felt like a drama character.
She didn't fit
no, she
in
didn't.
This. Her mm-hmm. character, let alone what she did, her character itself was such a difference between
yeah.
everyone else. She felt fake while everybody else felt quite realistic. It was weird.
Okay, but on the other hand,
yes,
we liked how they had this two-year gap.
That was pretty good.
And Hang Sun was studying
mm-hmm.
and not passing.
I
and
love
getting in.
I like that.
And they had decided to wait
mm-hmm.
to get married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then within that 2 year gap, the high school students
were in college.
Or
one was trying to get in
and
college.
And that was, you know, really well done.
Yeah. So I think the very ending with the leads, they did quite
yes.
well. That, you know, once Hang Sun finally passed her exam,
mm-hmm.
then they both proposed to each other. That was very
fun.
That was
fun. So cute.
That was very
That
cute.
Was so them.
No, very them.
Yeah.
And then also seeing how they styled, like, Sunjay and Hei and everybody to look slightly older and they're in college was very well done.
Yes.
And that, I think that all... And also, Sunjay and Hei, she finally accepted his feelings. Mind you, 2 years is a long time, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, I think that was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy with it. Thank freaking goodness they didn't show the wedding. I was very happy with just the engagement. That was
yes,
great.
Yes, yes.
Then the endings that were a little weird.
Yeah.
First, we had Sunjay's mom, who was the lawyer. Mind you, she just suspected She just straight up suspected her own son's a murderer, no questions asked, and went through this whole process and finds out he's completely innocent, was just scared to talk because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after
and
all that...
And Sunjay went and revealed how she had obtained the test materials.
Yeah.
So she got it. You know, all sorts
there,
of trouble
there was a
with
lot
that.
Going on. Which, yes, that's quite a shock isn't the right word, but you know what I mean. That she just did a whole 180. It's like, I'm finally going to have a relationship with the older, with my eldest. We're going to go on a trip together.
That was a little weird.
That was
now,
wacky.
I understand she got a wake-up, serious
yes,
wake-up
and
call.
That,
and that
that's
can
true.
Change a person drastically.
Not.
I don't know that if I were her son, I would have jumped at going on a trip with
yeah.
a controlling mom like that.
I think, if anything, the scene they showed where she was kind of trying to, kind of, sort of trying to resolve stuff with her husband, and then after that...
That was a nice one.
Hold on. Yeah. And then after that, the four of them were eating a meal together.
That would have been...
That was huge.
Stop there.
That was so huge.
Yes.
Like, that they were eating a meal together.
Yep.
Stop there. You've already come a long way.
Yes.
You've
shown that she is working at being a different person.
Exactly. I wish they ended it there.
Yeah.
And the other two, the biggest other one that was super annoying was Sua. They had an opportunity to show,
mm-hmm.
they did show how hard this can be on students, mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And they were showing that, like, very obviously.
Yeah. She was having visions about hurting another student.
Yeah. And that's...
Who was threatening her...
Life, basically.
Spot in
sure.
line.
Yeah, like, that's very intense
that's
what they were
pretty
showing.
Serious.
And also, like, the words moving on
yes.
the test. And from
yeah.
that you can tell is from stress and stuff. But
yep.
then...
Now when she's in college.
No. Before that.
Oh,
before
okay,
that, with the... She finds the mom... Her mom finds out that the dad's cheating.
Oh, right.
There's
right.
that whole big public fight. And then they're arguing at home. Obviously, Sual knows about this. She finds out. She weirdly, calmly says, oh, just get divorced. Like, I don't care. Sure, that makes sense. But she was very okay. Yeah, and then we jump to college, and she's all, oh, hey, sorry about all of us.
And
like,
let me tell you, college is more intimidating than high school. Maybe not in Korea. Maybe in Korea,
know.
It's all about the entrance exam.
Majority, but it probably
But
depends.
She's in pre-med.
Yeah, med school, man.
This is not relaxing.
I don't, yeah.
And she suddenly looks like she's just this happy-go-lucky
And
college
it,
student.
And it's kind of resolved it with Hei Yi and someone.
Yeah,
no. You had the opportunity to show her having to work through this.
Yes.
I don't need this the whole show about her working through it.
No.
I just need a few scenes sprinkled in here.
Right.
Of yeah. her going to counseling or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, slowly being like, oh, I'm, you know, working through my stress or something.
Right.
Anything.
Right. And the same thing goes with her mom. Her mom... Through all of this, never changed as a person.
That I'm not surprised at.
She,
yeah.
you know, now she's working for...
The academy,
and
like, yeah.
she, you know, gets to...
I think the biggest thing about the yeah. show that was frustrating was that they gave everyone a happy ending.
Yes.
That was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Now, you can have a happy ending with struggles.
Oh, for sure.
But they took away... All struggles.
Exactly.
That was the problem.
That was so frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, oh, sorry.
I did want to mention one
thing. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
That, a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, so Hei-E, reveals that her mom is not her mom, but her aunt. And it gets... Goes viral online.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And she comes into school
And she thinks it's going to be like how it was a few years ago.
And everyone is cheering for her and rooting for her and telling her how brave and awesome she was.
I did really like
that. That was refreshing.
That was cool.
To see that those kids were mature enough.
Yes.
To not make fun of her and put her down.
And at some point, I think they did show a few students gossiping about it. And one of her friends is like, shut up.
Exactly.
Get over it.
Like, yes.
And... you know, I like that they showed that, you know, these people, probably because she did it on, like, a live stream and stuff, they thought it was cool that she was on there.
But the majority of her classmates were behind her.
Yeah. And I think that was really
That was really neat.
That was, yeah. We all assumed the worst, that everybody was going to start pointing fingers.
Exactly. So it was
But I did show that, I did like that they showed some people did gossip about it. That's just inevitable in high school, you know.
Right.
So, this show's tricky to rate.
Very,
because
very tricky.
The beginning, more than half, up to episode 10, 11, that's like a big chunk of this show. I really liked it, quite enjoyed it. And then the murder case, and I was like, eh, why'd you change the whole plot? I was like, eh. And then the last two episodes came, I'm like, this is terrible.
Well, how do you rate it? Do you even give it a four?
Four seems a little too generous.
It does. But 3.5... seems a little stingy.
I think I'd give it a 3.5.
I know.
I'm somewhere in there. Between probably 3.5, just because if there's a show that, I don't know, I can have... I'm fine with shows having stuff that I didn't like in it, and I can still rate
them
very
highly.
It's
just had a lot of things that we didn't
like. Yeah, it's when a show has a list of stuff that we didn't really like, that it gets... I guess 3.5.
Super strong acting.
Oh, great acting in the show. Absolutely.
But the show can't be carried by just the acting. You have to have a good storyline.
This one, the characters were good. The acting was good. What happened was the plot line just crumbled. Which is very unfortunate because I really, really would have... I really thought they could have done a lot more with the lead couple, especially. I think they had so many more things they could have done and just didn't because the rest of the plot took over. And that was quite frustrating. Yeah. I'm like, you had some amazing actors and strong characters and a lot of plot line going on that you could have gone somewhere. So, yeah.
Okay.
I hope to see the... the actress who plays Hayley, she was in 20th Century Girl. She played the one that had the medical condition.
Right.
The best friend. So, I actually really liked her acting in this. Remember you mentioned she felt a little stiff?
In 20th Century Girl? Yes, she did.
Mind you.
It's interesting.
So, that was a really...
She did not feel stiff in the slightest in this, though.
No. So that's
maybe it was just...
her character.
The character she was portraying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel that she was really stiff. It was more you did.
Yeah.
But that's a note that she did an amazing job in this show. And I don't think we'd ever seen her anything else other than 20th Century Girl. But I'm very much looking forward to seeing, you know, a bunch of these people in something else. Especially Jung Kyung-ho. I want to see him more. But also, Hae-yi, Sun-jae, and the hockey player and the other friend... I'm very much looking forward to what other stuff they're going to be in, for sure. So, yeah, I guess tell us what you thought of this show. I think a lot of people had the same mixed feelings that we do, definitely. But I guess, you know, less on Instagram or something, for sure. But we hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you all next time.